the Winning Idea Podcast, helping you create bigger, better advertising concepts faster. I'm Rob Aspinall, and in today's masterclass, disruption is the key to capturing attention essentially in the advertising world. So to go deeper into this subject of interrupting audiences' habit patterns, of thinking, of the visual focus, of the mental chatter, you may have heard this term before. If it's fully understood, it's very powerful, which is why many agencies very astutely base their own offer around it. If you go onto the website, they may talk about disruption. Put simply, it's the ability to cut through the overwhelming noise of a saturated world. All this sensory information flying at you, we want to be able to cut through all that so that the audience takes away our message above others. Yet most campaigns that fail to land, they fail to land because they fall at this very important first hurdle, the capturing the attention side, which depends on disruption. The thing is, though, about disruption, they fail not because the campaigns are bright enough or loud enough, but because they don't stand out enough. Well, hang on, Rob, you might be saying, well, what are you talking about? How can you be bright and loud and not stand out? It just seems like an oxymoron. It seems like it doesn't make sense. Well, let's back up a little bit and dive deeper into what disruption really is. First, I want you to picture walking into a room. Let's say it's a large room, and this room is really busy, and let's imagine that everyone in the room is dressed head to toe in neon colours, in pinks and yellows, in orange and green, and that, you know, they're in these neon coloured t-shirts with matching trousers or leggings or whatever, however you imagine it. Now imagine everyone in this same room. They're all shouting and waving in your direction. They're trying to get your attention, yelling at you to look the way. They're pointing at the chests and saying, read this slogan, read this slogan. And the slogans are written in big, bold, funky letters on the chests. And there's all this noise going on, all these bright colours going on. And all these people, these needy people, trying to get you to focus on them. Now, imagine there's one lone other person in that room. And they're dressed in shades of subtle black and grey. They're not jumping up and down. In fact, they're not even saying a word. They're wearing this plain black t-shirt that says, just ignore me, in small letters. Who do you think stands out most in this room? Is it the faceless, noisy, needy mass? The people you struggle to tell apart from one another and can't wait to get away from? Or is it the one person in the room who's sporting a completely different look, with a different energy and a different agenda, apparently? And who has the most sense of mystery as well? Who do you want to know more about and really spend time with by contrast? Well, the key to disruption is not about being the brightest and loudest person in the room. It's being the most unique. So the person who's low-key, who's dressed completely differently, is the person who stands out, is the person you remember. Think of how many big, massive budget, CGI, crash bang wallop blockbusters stayed with you for days after watching them. You know, how many of the scenes do you remember? How much of the dialogue? What about the character journeys and things like that? Yet how many creepy horrors, like little low-budget creepy horrors or thought-provoking movies, stuck with you long after they ended? It's not the in-your-faceness that you remember. It's the inventiveness of what you watch that you remember. And it's the same with advertising. It's not the in-your-faceness of the creative execution. It's the inventiveness of the creative strategy that causes the disruption of the thought or habit pattern. Now, generally speaking, there are four levels of disruption, and there are four methods. The four levels of disruption, we're going to just generalize them down to four. So the four levels of disruption, first of all, we've got disrupting the attention. So we just snap people out of what they're focusing on, what they're looking at, what they're listening. You know, we just get their attention to go, oh, what's this? Then we've got disrupting the behavior, where we actually change the behavior of the person. We introduce a new habit or a new choice or a new decision. This is what we're essentially driving at, really, as creatives. We're trying to introduce a new behavior, even if the new behavior is just buying X, Y, or Z. Then we've got disrupting the marketplace. So it could be a brand new product that changes the landscape, if you like, a product with a new USP that suddenly all the other products try and be like. Like if you think of the iPod when that came out, or the iPad, suddenly there were loads of new tablets available because of that. Another example is watches. The watch market used to be dominated by Swiss watches. It was all mechanical. And then in the late 70s, early 80s, Casio in Japan started making watches. and they started using this quartz digital technology. And then everything, the whole watch market basically shifted to the Far East. And then the whole marketplace shifted and the whole industry shifted to digital. But you can also have disrupting the standard model. For instance, when Carl Benz started to make one, he developed one of the first motor cars, if not the first. And obviously now known as Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes was an investor in Carl Benz because his old investor thought he was mad when he said he was going to invent the motor car. And he had to find a new investor, and that was Mercedes who came in. But when he was originally developing this motor car, the horse and cart, that was kind of the standard model. And everybody thought, oh, you know, the horse and cart's going to be around forever. That's how we travel. You know, this idea of the motor car is ridiculous. And to the point where Carl Benz, he used to have to go and test it at night so no one saw it when it broke down and failed and he had to push it back home. But obviously, now the horse and cart is seen as it's used as a metaphor for old-fashioned because the standard model was disrupted. So we've got four methods of disruption that tie into these, and as you'll see, they each kind of turn it on its head. So let's look at the first one. First of all, we can make a different kind of noise. Let's say you've got sports arenas. There's a ton of noise going on there, crowd cheering and shouting and everything else. Well, what does the referee use to stop the play, to get the player's attention in this really noisy environment? They use a whistle because it's shrill. It makes a completely different noise to everything else, and it cuts through the noise. Or you can go another way, like say a teacher. There'll be a really noisy class when they walk in. Let's say she stands at the front and doesn't make a single sound. What tends to happen is one by one, the kids in the class stop talking, stop shouting, stop screaming, and they all quieten down, and then the lesson can begin. She's making a different kind of noise, so different that she's not even making a noise. But what happens is everybody pays attention to that noise, and suddenly the surrounding noise drops away because it's different, it stands out. Now, let's say the method of disruption is visual. Well, here we would look purposely out of place. You could call it standing out. It's using our neon metaphor again. Everybody's dressed in really bright clothes and this, that, and the other. Well, if you're dressed in black, you just stand out because you look different. So in a lot of cases, there's a lot of advertising out there that's trying to all look the same. This is the opposite of what you should be doing. You should be trying to look different. Not by trying to be bigger and brighter and bolder, but just being different in the way you look. And of course, authentic to your brand. Now, you can also go in a new direction. And if you take the Casio example, that's what they did. They went in a new direction. They went digital rather than mechanical, and they disrupted the marketplace. And then finally, we have, when it comes to the standard model, well, rather than trying, a lot of people are trying to upgrade the standard model or work on it a little bit, trying to make it, you know, 1% better or whatever each time. Well, the best way to disrupt the standard model, the standard way of doing things in society or whatever it may be, is to render the standard model obsolete, essentially to replace it with something brand new. That's another form of disruption. That's kind of beyond the realms of what we're doing here most of the time. Most of the time, we're going to be making a different noise, looking purposely out of place, or going in a new direction. Now, to show you how it works at its most basic level, you can disrupt people's attention through an advert on Facebook just through the use of an image. Now, it's actually the purpose of an image on a sponsored Facebook post or a paid advert to stop the Facebook user in their tracks. That's pretty much the sole purpose of the image. It's just simply to stand out, it's to stop the person scrolling. So the choice of image, the idea is that the colour of it should be different to the colour palette of Facebook because it makes you stop in your tracks from all this other noise going on. Now, it helps if the image is aligned or the video is aligned to your message, of course, but it's actually not necessary, which is a bit of a head scramble for an advertising creative. When it comes to what we've been taught about traditional advertising, everything should match up and everything should be complete. But as long as it stops those eyeballs and forefingers from moving down the screen, that's essentially all it's there to do. And that's a bit of a side point, but if you're working on a Facebook ad, that's quite useful to know. We can also look at another example of our different kind of noise. Budweiser's WhatsApp campaign, let's call it. Remember the advert where the guy calls up his friend at home and he goes, "What's up?" like that, and they all go, "What's up?" They do it better than I did. So When Budweiser did this, it was kind of early days of viral marketing, really. And essentially everyone was doing it to each other. You'd ring your friend and do it, or you'd go, "What's up? What's up?" and all that. And you'd think about Budweiser because it recalled the advert. You'd recall the imagery of it happening, and then obviously you can't disassociate that from Budweiser. And it was just Budweiser. Again, it's beer companies doing something different because they've got to. They've got no other choice. They've not got any USPs. They've got nothing unique to say, essentially. So they have to say or do something in a unique way instead. Remember we said in an earlier module, we said you can either say something unique or you can say something in a unique way, the same thing in a unique way. And that's how they cause disruption and therefore engagement. It's how they caught people's attention. This is a great technique, especially when we've not got anything unique or different to say.